And welcome back to Coast. Up next, psychic and witch Renee Watt joins us. We're going to be talking about shadow work, psychic awakenings, tarot cards. In our last hour, we're going to take your questions for Renee, but she also may have time to do a little quick tarot reading on you. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on. So she's next with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, Renee Watt with us, and we are going to get into some incredible things tonight. She was introduced to divination at 10 years of age, has continued to develop abilities that have been passed through the generations of her family. Her expertise has been featured in Cosmo, In Style, Teen Vogue, Bustle, Girl Boss, Vogue UK, and many other publications. She also hosts a weekly podcast called The Glittercast, co-hosts the occult live stream Betwixt the Shadows, and she is a psychic and a witch. Renee, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me. This is so exciting.
I'm looking forward to this. And 10 years old has started. What happened?
Well, my eldest brother had a girlfriend at the time who had a tarot deck. And, you know, my sister and I were close to her, and so she showed us her tarot cards. And immediately I was just so fascinated by the imagery, and the idea that I could tell the future was, you know, seemed really exciting to me. So I saved up my allowance for several weeks, and then she took me to a New Age shop, and I bought the Rider-Waite deck, and that's when I had my first tarot deck, which I took to school. At recess, almost every day, I was giving tarot readings to my peers, and at sleepovers, it was the same thing. So I just really latched onto it immediately.
What did your friends say?
I mean, I think they thought it was really cool and interesting as well. And, you know, they pretty much were there for it because they were active participants, you know, and I would get requests for readings. And, you know, of course, I was 10, so who knows how serious the questions were. It was, you know, probably, you know, little kids, boyfriend, girlfriend stuff. But it was still, you know, I think that people just hadn't really ever been exposed to anything like that. And so they were naturally interested.
Why do so many people, Renee, think that witches and witchcraft is evil?
I mean, I think that stigma stems from, you know, witches are very, very powerful because they,
sure,
you know, they implement their will on, you know, just to sort of elicit change that they want. And they find ways to achieve their goals through ritual. And I think for some people, they're afraid of it, you know, maybe because there was a projection happening there, they're afraid of their own power. But also, I mean, that stigma dates back to women who were healers that the church didn't like, you know, and so it was a way to demonize the practice a little bit.
And you're into tarot cards and all of these. When did you decide to use this and go for this as really a career, a professional career?
So that was actually kind of, you know, never anything that I thought I was going to do. And I just didn't actually take myself seriously as someone who was psychic or someone who read. It was just a hobby to me until I was about 28 and I was, you know, fresh out of a divorce and decided I was going to go on a cross-country road trip. At the time, it was a very hodgepodge comedy tour. I used to do stand-up comedy. And I was based out of Phoenix, Arizona at the time, and I was all the way in Louisville, Kentucky, and I had a gig fall through, and that was my gas money to get home. And so the only way that I could think to make money was to go down to New Orleans with my tarot cards, and I set up in the French Quarter, and I read for tourists, and that's when it sort of clicked that, it was very well received, that it gave me the confidence that I needed to pursue it. And so from there, it was just a matter of building up my client base and sort of creating a platform for myself so people could find me.
Well, you went through a divorce, you said. So did you put a spell on him or a curse or anything like that?
You know, I didn't. I actually think that it's way more powerful to take that energy and direct it towards self-improvement and direct it towards what you want to become and evolve past. I think that any negativity that you direct towards anyone else is really just a waste of your own potential because you could be focused on, you know, better stuff.
And it comes back and gets you too, doesn't it?
I think it can. I definitely think it can. There's, you know, the jury's out amongst different witches, but I'm always leery of that. You know, I believe in karma, so I don't ever want to put anything bad out there for that reason.
We used to have a witch that she called the Good Witch that would come on our program a lot, Renee, from the 90s through 2000s. She passed away, Evelyn Paglini.
Okay.
And but she was really into candles and the colors of candles to cast good spells on people. Are you into that too?
Yes, absolutely. I definitely will keep a variety of different colored candles around my room. And depending on my mood, sometimes I work, you know, you can color code with the chakra system, the Western chakra system, or you can color code with planetary magic. And so I work with both of those systems, and it just sort of depends on what I'm feeling that day. But, you know, if I feel like I need a gentle, loving presence in my house, I'll light a pink candle. If I'm feeling low energy and I need to sort of amp things up a bit, I'll go with yellow or gold.
Tell us now about your magical and psychic practice. How does that work?
So with my psychic practice, you know, again, stemming from that sort of, you know, working with the chakras, what I'll do is usually when I take a client, I will ask for a photo of them, and I'll channel them for about 20 minutes before I actually speak with them. And I will go through all of their different chakras. And with that, I'm able to sort of piece together information about them or behavioral patterns. So, for example, if I saw someone who, you know, your root chakra, it's your connection with reality, and it can tell me information about the space that you're living in. So if I can tell from someone's root chakra that they're not really taking care of their body, or, you know, maybe their house seems messy, and then I go up to their heart chakra and I feel a broken heart, well, then I'm like, oh, this person's probably not taking care of themselves because they just had a breakup. And, you know, or if I see, you know, that they don't necessarily put themselves out there because they have confidence issues with their solar plexus and their throat chakra feels, you know, clogged up, which is the way that you use your voice, then I'm like, okay, this person has, you know, a hard time putting themselves out there. They're worried about being judged. They're worried about, you know, people thinking that their ideas might not be good ideas. And then I can sort of help them unpack that and give them, you know, ideas of ways that they can use magic to work with it.
Now, what does shadow work consist of?
So shadow work it's not fun work.
It's not.
It's not because, you know, it's really about taking accountability for why you're unhappy. And so with that, you have to analyze the role that you play in your dissatisfaction. And a lot of people don't want to do that. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to admit that they engage with triggering habits. And for that reason, they're angry a lot of the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Now, is it dabbling with a darker side of life?
No, I would say, you know, if you're looking at sort of light work as coming into consciousness, shadow work is the subconscious. So it's the pieces of yourself that you aren't necessarily working with because you're not bringing it to your own attention and you're not focusing on it because it's easier to run from. And a lot of this comes from, you know, conditioning, what we were brought up with. You know, if you were raised in a household that's messy and now you are a messy person. Like that's a form of shadow work. It's not as serious, but that can also be like if you're unhappy in your relationships, but you never are able to, you know, you have a lot of failed relationships, but you're never quite able to realize where your fault was. You know, if you're always like, oh, this person was a jerk and this person was a jerk and why can't I find a nice guy? Well, a relationship works two ways. So there's got to be something that you're doing on some level that's attracting this type of relationship over and over and over again. And so, you know, it could just be that you're too much of a people pleaser, and so you don't assert yourself, and that's why you keep ending up in these relationships where you feel like you're taken for granted. And so it's really about analyzing, you know, what those patterns are like, and then, you know, there's discomfort in, okay, well, now I have to change that about myself, and now I have to get more comfortable with expressing my needs or saying what I want or saying what I need, even though that's not what I'm used to.
Who decides whether to dabble with that kind of work, shadow work, the client or you?
So I think that it has to be the client. I definitely think that, you know, even outside of people that I speak with, anyone who's looking to, you know, it's an introspective sort of practice, and it's focused on self-improvement. And so, you know, if I'm dealing with a client and I'm recommending shadow work, it does sound scary, but there is a lot of compassion that comes with it. And usually the first thing that I'll recommend is meditation, just so that people can feel comfortable with silence and feel comfortable with their own emotions.
Can you perform rituals, and what are they?
So I think that rituals are a really cool part of shadow work. And for me, you know, if there's something that I know I need to change about myself, procrastination is a big thing for me. I have some procrastination issues sometimes. And so
you mean personally?
Personally. Yeah. There's some procrastination that happens.
Okay.
And so, you know, if I know that I'm being that way, if I know that I'm procrastinating, I might do a banishing ritual for that specific habit. And to do that, it's very simple. I just take a black candle, and I will anoint it with sage oil. Whenever you're doing a banishing, you want to anoint the candle from base to wick so that you're pushing out. And so I will say I'm banishing procrastination as I'm dressing this candle with sage oil. And then I'll light it. And, you know, obviously I have to take accountability. I can't just banish it. You know, I still have to work on myself. But I think that that sort of communicates to the other side or to the universe what my intentions are. But I also think that in a lot of ways, magic is hacking your own psyche, and setting intentions are powerful. And going into a ritual to decide that you're going to change yourself in a specific way is one step further than just saying it.
Now, you mentioned, Renee, you used a black candle for a ritual. What makes you decide what color to use, and what do the colors do?
So black is typically a color that you will use to get rid of something. A lot of the times it's, you know, based with negativity. And so black is just sort of like it will take that away from you.
And what would white do, for example?
White is actually, it's kind of multifunctional, which is nice because white candles are a lot easier to come by. You can pick them up at the grocery store if you need to.
Right.
And so a white candle, because there's so much purity, you can really, you know, set any intention with it. Usually if I'm using a white candle, I will just sort of try to focus what it is that I'm trying to, the change that I'm trying to elicit, or what it is that my intention is, or what my spell is, into the candle as I'm holding it. It's almost like I'm in a meditative state, and I'm trying to push this energy into the candle before I light it.
Can people do this without being a witch?
Absolutely. It's definitely, you know, it doesn't have to be something that you use ritual for. I just like that because I am a witch. But any time that someone, you know, takes a step back and really looks at themselves and decides that they're going to make changes, that's shadow work. They might not call it that, but that's what that is.
And it seems to be, Renee, that positivity is really important to doing some of these rituals and spells, is it?
Totally. Because the thing is, you're working with your psyche in a way that's heavy, and you're sort of, you know, experiencing pain that you've already experienced, but in a way where you're analyzing it instead of just feeling it. And for that reason, you need to be able to sort of accept and release the past. So if you have trauma surrounding something that happened to you in the past, you know, thinking about it, those emotions will come up. And then you have to decide, okay, I can't change the past. I'm just going to promise myself to be better in the future, or I'm not going to end up in this situation in the future. And I know things now that I didn't know then, or I didn't have control of the situation then. And so I'm going to release, you know, I'm going to release the pain around that and work towards a lighter, brighter future.
Renee's website is rainbowglitterstar.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Renee, give us an example of a ritual you performed when a client came to you, what was their situation? No names given, of course. What was their situation? And then what did you do? And then what were the results?
So I do, I had a client who was really hung up on their ex and really wanted their ex back. And I don't do that. I don't like to put spells on specific people. And so I was like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do a spell to try to bring your ex back.
You just don't like that area, do you?
No, I don't like that. I just, you know, I think that
move on, people, right?
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you're trying to do a love spell on a specific person, there's some element of obsession that's going on that I just don't like touching, and I don't like to feed into that either. You know, no shade thrown at any witches who do that. It's just not my practice.
Okay, so what happened?
So I told her what I would do is I would do sort of like a self-love/attraction spell on her. So it would help her sort of love herself and get over the breakup, but it would also sort of bring an attraction to her aura, which I believe is achieved through self-love anyway, so that she can attract new partners. And it was actually interesting because I told her when I was going to be doing this spell, because I, you know, I'm an astrologer as well, so I timed it based off of what
I thought. Got many hats there, Renee, don't you?
I started when I was 10, so I had to stay interested.
Sure.
But she wrote me the next day and she said, I dreamt that you were doing this spell and I felt really comforted and I felt really loved. And so that was a good feeling for me that it was working.
And end result, what happened for her?
I actually haven't touched base with her since then. So maybe I will after this.
Maybe she fell in love with somebody. Who knows, right?
She's too busy to get readings because she's got a new boyfriend.
What kind of subjects do people come to you for?
You know, it's a lot of love and it's a lot of career.
Love, career, yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to say that it's mostly career. But love comes in there too, and I think both are valid reasons.
What about health? Do they come to you for health issues?
Yeah, sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. That's less common, though.
With what you do, could you call it prayer?
Yeah, definitely.
And prayer works. We know that.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important part of shadow work as well, because a lot of the times when you're going into it, you're not in a good place. You know, you're feeling uninspired. You're feeling unhappy. And so you've got to sort through that. And it's a bummer to feel that way. And so I always recommend to my clients, you know, say, I'm calling in my optimism. I'm calling in my joy. I'm calling in my creativity. I'm calling in my happiness, just to attract that energy and to attract that mindset to help take you out of that dark place.
Renee, stay with us. Lots more to talk with you about when we come back in a moment. Her website, again, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And then next hour, we'll take your phone calls with her, questions about being a psychic, about witchcraft, and she will, if you want, do a tarot card reading. She'll probably just pull one card and talk to you for a little bit, time permitting, but we can do that too next hour. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Renee Watt with us. Renee, you're a psychic, astrologer, or witch. What led you into witchcraft? How did that evolution occur?
That actually was sort of by chance. You know, I mean, I guess I already had the blueprint because I was, you know, reading cards, but I was out with one of my friends and we went to a local used bookstore and just sort of were perusing the different aisles and we found the new, you know, sort of like the new age alternative religion section, and we found books on witchcraft, and I didn't ever really realize that was an option, you know. It was always just sort of like we'd seen the craft, but never connected the dots that it was a real practice. And so I found a book by Scott Cunningham, Wicca, A Guide for the Solitary Practitioner. And once again, like the tarot, got super immersed, super into it. And I actually ended up forming a coven on my 13th birthday when I had a sleepover with some of my friends.
Uh-huh.
So that's sort of how that came about.
What do you think of Hollywood and how they handle witch shows?
You know, I'm okay with it. I know a lot of other witches have a problem with it, but for me, I think that if a little girl watches, or a little boy, you know, watches a show about witchcraft. And so they find a reason to study it seriously, and it gives them tools to empower themselves. I'm all for it. And if Hollywood is their gateway, cool, fine with me, you know.
Now, if somebody's in a dark place emotionally, what do you recommend for them? What can they do to pull that cloud over their head and get rid of it?
I mean, I definitely think that you have to look at a lot of different things. One of the things that you should look at is, you know, who are you spending your time with? And are you spending your time with negative people? Are you spending your time with judgmental people? And because you are surrounded by judgmental people, you have a fear of being judged. And so it's really important to make sure you're surrounding yourself with positive people who celebrate your successes, who celebrate other people's successes, because that's really where you're going to find support. If you're around negative people and you get a win, they're not the people that are going to congratulate you. They're going to find something wrong with your win and try to take it away from you. So I think that's the number one thing. Go ahead.
Has this ever scared you?
It's never scared me, but I know that when I talk to clients, a lot of people are afraid of what they might bring up, you know, what story. And this is very common with people who have a lot of trauma in their past. And if you are afraid of it, then I think it's a good time to, you know, contact a therapist, contact a Reiki practitioner, contact a psychic, or someone who can help guide you through what, you know, what you're experiencing and help you find a meditation practice that works for you. Because I also think that that's at the core of happiness in general.
What has been one of the strangest clientele stories that have come across you?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I'm not really, nothing sounds strange to me.
I mean, did somebody ever want to be turned into a toad or anything like that?
No, I think that, you know.
You said that with a little hesitation.
Well, no, I mean, every once in a while I'll get like a weird message from a guy or something like that.
Yeah,
I'll do it. But, you know, when it comes to actual clients and people who are serious about my services, none of it's weird to me.
All right, and what has been one of the weirdest things that have come across your desk that you performed an actual spell or ritual for?
I feel like...
That you can say on the radio.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because I do have something in mind, but I'm worried about, like, discussing a reading that I had with a client. But basically, I'll say this. You know, I had a person who was sure that someone had feelings for them and kept wanting me to do spells to make them confess their love. And it was just a lot. You know, and it was hard to shake this person away from their certainty.
Can you change somebody's mind? Let's say a client comes to you and says, you know, I like that person, but that person doesn't even know I exist. I want that person to notice me. I want that person to start liking me. Can you actually do something to that person to get them to start noticing this person, your client?
I could, but I won't.
Really?
Because I would rather build up the client. I'd rather have them find value in themselves, and I would rather them focus on self-improvement. Because the thing is, if someone's not noticing you, if you improve yourself and you evolve yourself enough, eventually they're going to. And by the time that happens, you might not even want them anymore.
Interesting take. So you really try to protect your clientele, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It's a very delicate profession to be in. I want to be really responsible about how I'm handling people that are being really vulnerable with me and who are being very open. So, yeah, I'm very protective.
Have you ever had a client come to you and want you to do some bad things? For example, you know, some guy wants a job and he's up for it with the two other people, and he wants you to do some kind of bodily harm through a spell to these other two so he would be there to get the job? I mean, has anything strange like that happened?
No, I don't think so. But I think that people know I'm not the person to go to for that. Because
no, I would guess you would turn that flat down right away, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I would.
Are there witches that would accept that assignment?
Yeah, I think the co-host of my live stream, Sal, for Betwixt the Shadows, would do that.
Really?
He's not afraid to get dirty, and he'll admit it. And I think it's, you know, I love him for it. I think that the beauty of witchcraft is that you have the freedom to do whatever you want. And if you want to be a witch who practices that kind of craft, do it. I don't have any problems with it. I don't have to answer for your actions. I only have to answer for my own. So more power to you if that's how you want to work.
Have you ever seen any cases where that happened and somebody got hurt or something because somebody put a curse or a spell on them?
I've heard stories. And, you know, for me, I have felt like I was being cursed or hexed. And my response to that is always to do a sort of, like, return to sender spell. And I've seen that really blow up in people's faces where they tried to mess with me. I did a reversal. So I'm not putting any of my own bad stuff into it. I'm just deflecting, you know, sending it back to them, and I've seen that really blow up in people's faces. Not that I have a lot of people trying to hex me, but there's been at least, you know, a couple.
I mean, what would you do if somebody came up to you and said, Renee, I'm going to give you $10,000. Here it is. Now I want you to make my boss fall down a flight of stairs or something like that. Then
yeah.
What do you do?
I mean, it would be hard to turn down the money, and I would try to find a way for us to, like, bridge the gap where we can agree on a spell that doesn't compromise my moral compass. But I also think that when you try to get that specific with witchcraft, like this person's going to fall downstairs, it's just, you know, spells are really unpredictable. And so you never really know exactly how it's going to manifest. So, you know, I would try to explain that to them first. Like, hey, it doesn't really work like that.
There was an old Twilight Zone episode. You're probably too young to remember these. But a guy stumbled across an Aladdin's lamp, and he rubbed it, and a genie popped out. And the genie gave him three wishes, but said each wish has a consequence. So it's not just, I want to have $10 million. There's a consequence tied to it. And, he would say something like, I would like to have omnipotent power. And then the genie would turn the guy into Hitler. I mean, so, you know, you're there with all this power, but you're Hitler, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So things would have consequences. He'd want to have all the riches he could muster in the world, but he would have them, but he might... have no eyes, no ears, or something like that. Something horrible would happen to the poor guy. And, you know, it would always happen to consequences. Has that ever happened to you? Have you seen that happen, where something had a consequence?
I've seen the potential for a spell to have a bad consequence, and so I was able to stop it. Just to add more context to that, I know I've talked a lot about not putting love spells on specific people. And the reason I'm adamant about that is because I used to do that, and I've done that before.
Oh, have they backfired?
Well, it was going to. So I cast a spell on a person that I was interested in.
Oh, for yourself?
For myself. And I felt that my energy was sort of drained after I did the spell. Like, I felt like, you know, I'd paid in some way. And the deity that I worked with, Hecate, she actually came to me and she said, do you still want this? And I said, yes. And then I felt like my energy was drained. Like, I even had an exhale that it almost sounded like a dying breath. I was like, you know? And
it does have consequences.
Well, like, what was crazy was, after that happened, and, you know, I was pretty obsessive. You have to be obsessive to go there, to want to put a love spell on someone. You just do. And I stopped really caring about this person. And a month or two later, you know, my clairvoyance was going off, and I was seeing a lot of, like, almost like a shadowy type figure running around my house. And I had moved on from the situation at this point. I wasn't interested anymore. And the goddess that I worked with, Hecate, she came to me in, you know, a clairvoyant vision, and she said, hey, this shadowy figure, this is all the obsession. This is, you know, everything that was unhealthy about your infatuation with this person. This all belonged to you. I'm going to attach it to him, and he's going to feel that way about you. And I was like, you know what? Let's not do it. So, like, she gave me the opportunity to back off and not let it go through.
Right.
That was nice. But I could see how, you know, it was a lesson in how magic works.
You seem to concentrate a lot, too, on shadow work. How come?
Because I think that it really does a lot for your self-awareness. And I think that by taking accountability for what you are doing on a personal level that isn't to your benefit is the only way to really elicit change. By understanding what your behavioral patterns are and why you've had cycles of unhappiness, and breaking away from it, like, that's how shadow work to me. And so I think that once you've done that, you know, you evolve, you become more self-aware, you become more grounded, you are able to actualize goals because there's a clarity that didn't exist before, but you also have patience for other people that didn't exist before, in my opinion.
We're going to take calls with Renee Watt next hour. And Renee, get those tarot cards ready because lots of people want to talk to you about readings.
Perfect.
And so how will you work that? What do you want them to do when they call?
I would just say, you know, be prepared with a question.
Okay.
And, you know, I'll just, you know, we'll since we've got a lot of people interested, I'll just pull a card, maybe two, and I'll try to add some insight.
Okay, and try to keep it to about a minute and a half a person because we've got so many calls coming in.
Okay,
if you can,
good.
If you can do that. I don't want to interrupt you when you're right in the middle of your thought, but just mentally think about them. You know, if you have a little stopwatch by you or something,
okay.
You can just time yourself like that. And now, did your family members have this power that you possess too?
Yes. So
it's hereditary.
It is. I had a great aunt who my mom always refers to as great aunt Chacha, and she read tea leaves. And my grandmother, she did cartomancy, so she read playing cards. But she stopped because she felt like she was too accurate and it was scaring her. And then my mom, she just knew things. She was very intuitive. And, you know, she would know things were going to happen before they happened. She was even, you know, an adolescent. And she was raised Catholic, is still very Catholic. And her schoolmates told her, like, that she was talking to the devil, that the devil was feeding her these prophecies, and she got real freaked out. But she never quite let go of it, because she actually took me to a psychic development class when I was about 11 years old.
Boy, you got trained early, didn't you?
Well, yes. Yeah, and she used to listen to Coast to Coast. So this is like, there's a little bit of a buzz in my household because my family used to listen to Coast to Coast.
How about that? How old are you anyway?
I'm 33.
Oh, you're still a kid.
Thank you.
You're still a kid. So you've been doing this for 30 years.
Well, 23.
That's still not bad.
Yeah. I think it's not too bad.
Not bad. I mean, do you get upset when, do you tell people you're a witch? Like right out there, you just say, I'm a witch?
Yeah, I'm pretty open about it.
And do they look at you funny?
I feel like living in Los Angeles and the way that witchcraft has become so popular lately, a lot of people are calling themselves a witch. So it's, the shock value isn't there the same way it was when I was 12 years old in the suburbs of conservative Phoenix. Then that raised eyebrows, and there was, you know, maybe some concerns from my mom because, you know, she was Catholic and witchcraft, and you know, went against her beliefs too. So,
how did you get so much notoriety in the publications like you know, Cosmo in Style, Teen Vogue? How did all that happen?
You know, the astrology community and the tarot community is very supportive because we all believe that, you know, helping someone else get work doesn't take away from your own work, and so there, I guess there sometimes it is a competitive aspect, but for the most part, we're all really happy to provide a platform for each other, refer services, you know, that we can't do to our clients, to other work, you know, people in the industry who can do it. So it's just a really, really beautiful industry to be involved in. And so I've just been referred to a lot of these interviews by people in the industry who have just, you know, been really good about.
All right, super. Renee, we're going to come back and take an hour of phone calls with you next. If you want a reading, just tell Gina about it. If you have just a straight question, let her know that too. And we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.